plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
We are made of our
Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday in Apostlestide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and the stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 9th chapter. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise, are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said: about this time next year, I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call, she was told, "The older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now, when Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down in the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text, the gospel reading from Matthew 14, I'll reread verses 14 through 17. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." This is our text. Some of you may be aware that when I was in high school, a big interest that I had was an interest in math. I enjoyed numbers and adding things up, and my wife can tell you that even today, my downtime is sometimes spent in the family budget. That is a personal confession. When we hear about the feeding of the 5,000, what strikes me is how it doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense. If you do the math, you've got 5 loaves, you've got 2 fish, and you've got 5,000 men, besides women and children. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. And I picture the disciples, as this is happening, kind of watching it unfold, picturing it a bit like an accident that suddenly happens in front of you, but in slow motion. You see what's about to happen, but you can't make it stop. The disciples have this sort of sense that disaster is brewing, that it never should have gotten to this point where they're left with 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 5,000 plus people, to the point where they've got that many mouths to feed and such a measly meal to give. I can picture the disciples nudging each other, trying to get them to say something to Jesus. I can picture the disciples wishing they would have said something sooner. I can picture the disciples thinking, Jesus should have done something sooner. Now, it happened there in that wilderness place, but I think it happens for us as well, that sometimes things just don't seem like they're going to add up. They don't make sense. They don't compute. We can't figure out how it's going to come together in the end. Whether it's a moment when we're looking at our finances and looking at the stack of bills, whether it's looking at our calendar and the time we wish we had and all of the projects we need to get to, whether it's looking at relationships in our lives and wondering how it's going to work out, friendships or family members, because it just doesn't add up. It was that way for the disciples. It never should have gotten to this place. The only reason they were out in this desolate place in the wilderness is because Herod had taken off the head of John the Baptist and served it on a platter. And when Jesus heard that, he knew that it was time to get away for a moment. So he and the disciples got in a boat, and they went to that desolate place, thinking to have some time alone, some time quietly, some time apart from the crowds and the stress and the danger that Herod posed. But you know what happened. When they got to the other side, they found the crowds had beaten them there. They had come on foot so that when Jesus finally gets on shore, he finds a great crowd waiting for him, a great crowd who is eager for him to teach, a great crowd who is ready for him to heal. So what was meant to be a time of refreshment, a time of withdrawal, was co-opted by the needs of others. I wonder if the disciples thought, can't a person get a break around here, at least in a desolate place? But no, they can't. I suppose parents sometimes feel that way as well, thinking they found a closet to hide in and read for about 5 minutes, only to have the door get opened by a child. And that's where the disciples start to see things going off track. And where Jesus makes what they might consider a fateful decision. He sees the crowds. He sees their needs. He sees their sicknesses. He sees their heartaches and their disappointments, just as he sees yours. And he is moved with compassion. It's this beautiful moment. This word compassion means that his insides are being twisted up in a knot while his heart goes out to them. And not only does our Lord have this feeling of compassion, he has the means to show compassion. And so he does. He heals the sick, one person after another. And I picture the disciples here watching the sun go up and reach its peak, and the shadows lengthen, and he's still healing, and he's still teaching, and now it's evening, and these people must be getting restless. They must be getting hungry and tired. They must have needs that need to be met. And they see one solution before it ends in a terrible disaster. Hey, Jesus, it's time to stop. Time to stop showing compassion. Time to stop healing these people. Send them away to the villages to buy food for themselves. I'm struck by the fact that it was the disciples who seemed to have this anxiety. Jesus doesn't show any anxiety about it. There's no stress for him. And I don't know about the crowds, but I don't hear them grumbling and complaining about not having food. But it's the disciples as they watch the numbers and they wonder, how are we going to make this work? Send them away. Because, of course, Jesus may heal and he may teach, but he can't possibly be expected to deliver daily bread. Yes, he can take care of their illnesses and their fevers, make lame people walk, but if what they need is a meal, then there's Market Basket and Hannaford's and BJ's, but not in the wilderness. So send them away. Send them away to buy food for themselves. Let them take care of their own daily needs. Let them provide for themselves. After all Jesus does, you can't expect him to take care of that too, can you? He'll take care of forgiveness. He'll take care of eternal salvation. But you take care of the rest. What does Jesus have to do with your fridge or your pantry or your dining room table or your time? But we see here that he has much to do with those things. He cares not only about your souls, which he certainly cares about deeply. He cares also about your bodies, about your daily needs. There is no hunger too small for Jesus to be interested in. There is no need that is too little for Jesus to take notice of. He sees and he cares, and he has compassion. And Jesus makes clear that they do not need to go away. There is no moment where Jesus sends someone in need away because he can't meet that need. There is never a moment when he says, I've done everything I can, why don't you try something else? They don't need to turn elsewhere for anything, for their daily needs, for the things that belong to this life and in the world, for what they need to sustain them here on earth. They don't need to go somewhere else. He cares about those things too. And he cares about those things also for you. Sometimes I think that when it comes to praying, we are apt to pray for the big things or the things that we know Jesus really cares about, but we may be less disposed to pray for the small things. Well, that's too little. I don't need to bother Jesus about that. What does he care about the fact that I'm hungry or in need of food or whatever it might be? And yet here Jesus says, they need not go away. Come to me with those needs. Lay before me the things that are burdening you and bothering you. Lay before me the things that don't add up in your life. They need not go away, Jesus says, because they don't need something more than what Jesus gives. He has everything that you need, and he has everything that they need. And yet here Jesus takes a moment to test the disciples. You give them something to eat. You, disciples, feed these people who are hungry, 5,000 plus, and this is where the disciples feel like it's finally gone off the rails. Should they have prepared? Should they have gotten food for these people?
What do they have? What can the church provide when there are so many who are so needy? The disciples don't have much. 5 loaves and 2 fish. It doesn't take long to count that. And if we're honest, when we see the needs that the world has, when we see the hunger that is out there, when we see the sicknesses and the pain and the troubles, and we look at what we've got to work with, it doesn't seem like much. But the truth is that I don't care what you can do with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I care what Jesus can do. I don't care what you can do with the things that don't add up in your life. I care about what Jesus can do when things don't add up in your life. Because he can. And here in the wilderness, it doesn't add up to making sense according to our numbers, but what it does add up to is this. It adds up to the compassion that Jesus has for those people and for you. Only 5 loaves and 2 fish? There's no only about it. Buy food for themselves? Not needed. Send them away? They have no need to go away. Jesus takes the 5 loaves, the 2 fish. He takes the little bit they do have. He takes all that there is. And our Lord multiplies the loaves and the fish. And he feeds those people. In Jesus, it all adds up. It all adds up to their daily needs being met, to God providing those people what they need in that moment. And it all adds up to one who is not simply another person, just a good teacher or a miracle worker, but to one who is God in the flesh. Our God can do amazing things. He can make something out of nothing. He can make what doesn't add up in our lives turn into something greater than we ever could have imagined or expected. Our Lord is compassionate, and he loves his people, and he cares about your needs, and he came to provide for you. Yes, to provide for you here in this life, but to provide for you even more in the life of the world to come. And so Jesus did what he does. He orders them to sit down. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looks up to heaven. He says a blessing. And then he breaks it and gives it to the disciples. And the disciples give the bread and the fish to the crowds. So much. They all ate and were satisfied, content with what they'd received. And it all happens when Jesus says, "Bring them to me. Bring the fish and the loaves to me. Bring the things that don't add up to me. Bring your finances or your schedule or your relationships to me," he says. "And watch what I can do with 5 loaves and 2 fish. In reading this text this week, I was also struck by all the ways the disciples were trying to arrange things. You know, the fact that they're probably calculating in their heads what they need and how much they have. How many people are there? Why don't you go scout from that hill and see if you can get an estimate at the number of the crowd? I think about them organizing and arranging. But the purpose of all of it is for the people to be fed. For them to receive what Jesus has for them. Coming back from my trip over the last week, the Synod Convention, which was a full week of business meetings and presentations and things of that nature, I was struck by the fact that all of that time spent organizing and making resolutions and voting on things and hearing about things, all of that is important and necessary, but all of it is there for the purpose of what is happening here and now. The church is not the church as it meets for meetings. The church is the church as it gathers together for God's word and for the sacraments, as we have this day. All of the other things that happen may be necessary, they may be good, they may be helpful, but they're all for the sake of Jesus meeting you with his word and his sacrament now. Jesus showing the compassion that he has to you. Jesus filling you with the things that are good. Jesus taking what you bring to him and multiplying it into what you need. The heart of the church is our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. Our Lord serving his people and providing for them, and hearing them and seeing them and having compassion upon them as he has upon you this day. What it adds up to is not the disciples having everything that they need in hand to make it work. What it adds up to is Jesus taking care of those who are his, as he has and will take care of you. It is his promise. And it is a promise that is guaranteed by his own blood. Would our Lord Jesus Christ give himself for you, not only in multiplying loaves, but in laying down his life on the cross, so that you are left without the things that you need in daily life? No, he will take care of you, and he will provide, for he loves you that much. He loves you all the way to the cross, and he loves you with a love that provides more than you can possibly begin to imagine. What does it add up to? His blood adds up to your salvation and life. And we have not even begun to see what that looks like. We see his blood poured out, the sacrifice that he made. But you know how he will multiply that. Do you know what he will do with that? You know what he will give to you out of his sacrifice on the cross. More than we can even begin to ask or imagine. So my encouragement to you this day, when the situation looks hopeless from a human perspective, when you find yourself like the disciples, wondering if you should have said something or done something earlier, or wondering why Jesus hasn't done something different, look to him. Bring him your loaves and your fish. Lay them in front of him and say, Jesus, I offer this to you. Take and use it as you will. We know how limited the resources are, but I don't think we have a clue how great Jesus' power and goodness is as well. Greater even than our need. And so today our Lord invites us to come to him in faith, to receive what he offers, to take what he provides in our daily life and be content and satisfied with what he gives. Our Lord would not have us depart. He would have us stay with him. Our Lord went to the cross. The Father departed from him. My God, why have you forsaken me? So that we may remain with him, even through the wilderness, even through the times when things don't add up, that we may remain with him now and in the life of the world to come. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are weary and heavy laden, come to him and find rest. If you are stressed out and anxious, bring to him the anxiety and the needs, and know that he will take care of you now and forever. He will provide what you need today, and he has provided and will provide what you need for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father, your steadfast love is gracious and overflowing. Teach your people to look to you in every need, to be thankful for everything that you give, and to know that no danger, trouble, or hardship can ever separate them from your love in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we give you thanks that you have blessed us beyond what we deserve and have given to us your church. Bless all pastors and servants in your church, and bless those now considering and preparing for church work. Lord, in your mercy. Father, your Son miraculously fed the 5,000 and satisfied them. We thank you for all you provide to support our bodies and lives. Make us content with what you give, that we may not covet or turn elsewhere than to you. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we are richly and daily surrounded with your love and care. Give us eyes to see your mercies new every morning, and grant us grateful hearts that what we have received we may generously share with the needy and your church. Grant your care to all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially to Rachel, Emma, and Rachel. And we thank you for the safe delivery given to Halvor Lennart, and we pray that you would be with him and Abby in this time following the birth. Grant to them your peace and your joy, and bring this child soon to the waters of holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. Father, visit us in your compassion. Deliver the sick from their infirmity, the troubled from their afflictions, the grieving from their sorrow, and the dying from their fear. Especially we pray for Jared, Anne, Melanie, Michelle, Stan, Luann, Amanda, Betty, Al and Bernie, Angela, Angelo, Blair, Dan and Patty, Eleanor, Yorma, and Amy, as well as Karen, Rick, Jeanette, and Andrea. May all who cry to you receive grace according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Father, your steadfast love and mercy are forever, but our faith is daily tested and tempted. Give us strength and endurance that we may not despair, but have confidence in your sufficient grace within your word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, let us seek you while you may be found, call upon you in the day of salvation, and be prepared by your mercy for the day of judgment. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 136, starting at the 10th verse. Give thanks to God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With strong hand an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrow Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people to the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sion of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for their steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to the Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
This healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you